we're studying Carmel.
Oh, go, girl.
And cousin, my son gets me in trouble a lot of times.
Really?
Yeah.
You would not know that.
I know y'all like church. One of the verses really stood out to me, and I know this verse, but the commentary really struck me. It's Proverbs 18:21. It says, death and life are
in the power of the tongue. Yes.
Mm-hmm. And those who love it will eat its fruits. Mm-hmm. The commentary spoke to me about, it says this, and I never thought about this. It says, it's showing one way it can cause death. It says, the evil tongue slays three, the slanderer, the slandered, and the listener. Mm-hmm. I never thought about a listener.
Okay.
Because if you're standing in front of a group of people and you slander somebody, I understand the slanderer and the slandered, but I never thought about a listener being there.
That's good.
I just never thought of it that way.
Yeah, we're gonna talk a little bit about that, because while I'm really done with this parable, but
it really has caused me to really stop and think more about what I mean. I'm putting in the word in my heart.
Yes. Yes. That I might not sin against me.
Yep. Still there.
Right.
And needs work.
We are brand new.
Yes.
But, and I want to, yeah, I think this is a confusion. We are brand new and Christ made us brand new. And I like to think of brand new rather than changed. Mm-hmm. Because an improved Chuck is not the same as a brand new Chuck.
New Chuck.
And I need to be brand new, because if I'm improved, I'm going to pat myself on my back and I'm going to stay right there. I'm going to be comfortable. I'm going to tread water, and I'm really not going to get God's best. But when I'm saying that I'm brand new, then I'm like, hey, that old is
gone.
Galatians 2:20, I think it is. Yeah, I'm crucified with Christ. But I also have to remember that there's a process involved as I'm walking by faith in my new life. And the Bible says it comes through the washing of the word. So I got to keep washing the word. And even Jesus' disciples, he said, you don't have to wash. I don't have to wash your whole body because you're clean. But you travel and you pick up some things or whatever that will mess up your newness. And that's the process that I got to go through to continue to keep myself straight. We're going to talk about that today. And that's why I think Davey's not here. So that's why we can spend one more week on this parable and get going. So we're in Matthew chapter 15, verse 1 through 15, or well, 1 through 20. And we're going to be at verse 17. We're going to pick us up. I saw two hands. Susan.
I had a friend.
Oh, wait a minute. There's two Susans.
That's right. She can go first.
Well, this one goes. This Susan goes. I don't know who put their hand up first, but I think that Susan brought the strawberry, so I got to go with, favor. You better keep your eyes off that strawberry and your mouth.
What? Strawberry donut.
Oh.
Boy, I think if you sit here long enough, you'll catch up. Anyway, let's go, Susan. Talk about some jet lag. let's.
Strawberries, you could just eat them like dessert. Mm. I have never seen so red. Mm. Not go
I love y'all. Anyway, let's go. All right, where's you got, Susan?
So a friend shared something, and I'll make it quick, that relates to the exact example of the parable.
Okay.
So a neighbor got upset, and it involved another neighbor, and it was affecting their whole end of the street, basically.
Okay.
And so my friend, the neighbor even called police.
Oh!
Because she was upset about some parking situation.
Gotcha.
But there was a good reason for there being parking problems. And because there had been a death in the family.
Ah.
Okay? So you added, I want y'all to know that element. So the neighbor that got upset was really spewing some venom.
Gotcha.
Was defiled.
Where was it coming from?
From her heart.
Oh, there you go. All right.
She had some bitterness or had some fear and bitterness, I'm thinking.
Yeah.
And so, you know, like, so my friend, instead of the vileness, instead of it affecting her and her becoming vile,
all right,
she responded as a peacemaker.
Wow. Even after the cops showed up.
Right. And the hurt of her other neighbor.
Yes.
Because that could also defile you.
Yes.
Because if that, and she encouraged that neighbor not to be defiled.
Because as you're telling the story, I'm already inside of me. I already have an ought against the neighbor who called the cops.
Yes.
Yes.
Yes. Yes, I did too.
Yes.
I did too.
Yes.
But my friend did not let it defile her. So she, what went in her,
yes,
she did not let it defile her, because what came out of her was righteousness.
Absolutely. And it is awesome when you can go tell the person who offended you, you know what, what you did to me looks like something that I just, well, anyway. yes, it's floating in the water. Anyway, go ahead.
So the scripture that came to my mind was Paul saying, I don't do what I should do, and I do what I don't want to do.
Right.
And that's just how it is.
Yeah.
And if Paul had the problem, well, we just put ourselves probably right there.
Absolutely, too. And I used to always, but to see the problem with that, while Paul describes that, as an immature, as a young believer, I use that as an excuse to continue to allow what's on the inside to remain. And if we read further what Paul described, but thanks be to God, now he's talking about the newness. So that struggle is not a struggle anymore for him when he walks in newness. But he still has to have that ongoing. I don't walk as if I've already obtained, but I just keep going through. He doesn't say it, but it's what he means. I keep going through this process. I don't act like I've already, you know, arrived and been there. I keep going through this, lest I be a castaway.
But isn't it life changing if we apply it? It's terrible.
Well, that's why we are the application class.
But I needed physical example.
Yes.
God showed me that through my friend.
Yes. So. Yeah. And that's why you get your own parable out of that. And that's a powerful one. Because, and it's not what comes out. We can, see, here's the problem with us as believers, or anybody. I know I acted that way, but it's not my fault. I never would have acted that way if it had not been for what happened on the outside. Right. And what the parable says is, you can't blame what's happening on the outside when you got Christ on the inside. I just said something there. Yeah. All right. Yeah. Because well, it's their fault and they did this and blah, blah, blah. And when you say that, you are justifying
what you did
on the inside, which is defiled. So you're putting perfume and holy water on the poo-poo. I know it's nasty.
It is.
Anyway, but that came from it. But so you
covers up the smell.
It covers up the smell, but at the end of the day, God still sees it as what it is. It's the God, all right? Amen. I'm sorry I gotta break this down, but we got jet lag over here, so I gotta get down to where they are.
Gotta
catch them back up. Amen.
You've been going, gotta catch up.
That's it. Oh, wait a minute. That came from me back. You gotta look at Al.
Yeah.
You can't blame Al. I know it's easy to do it. There you go, Al. I hear you, brother. Boy, she can't even get no look. If she wasn't sitting down, her hand be on her hip. You're in trouble.
I feel a chill. All right.
So let's get going here. Here we go in the scripture. All right.
We're glad to know we're all
here. Amen. We all got something inside of us. So here we go. Verse 17, he's breaking it down. Do you not yet understand that whatsoever enters in at the mouth goeth into the belly and is cast out into the draught? But those things which proceed out of the mouth come forth from the heart, thank you, Deb, and they defile the man. Now, he gives us some specific examples. Susan was looking for something in the natural order. He gives us some specific examples of some of the evil things that are inside of us that we need to deal with, so that we know, as we go through this process, we need to be careful on these things. Got it? All right. My examples might be different from your examples, but it's this, if it produces this, then you need to be careful. So I want to go through each of these, and then I want to hit you with a question. All right? And it's around process. So here we go. Verse 19, he gives the examples. For out of the heart, when we're talking heart, we talked about this last week. We're talking we're talking the mind. I think they're Myers. Battlefield of the mind. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Wonderful. You know, just boom. It's all in the dome. Here we go. For out of the heart proceeds evil thoughts. Mm-hmm. Anybody ever had any evil thoughts?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So, before COVID, I had to go to work every day in person. And I praised God for this job because I didn't have a job that I really wanted. I got a job that I really wanted. I don't work that hard or whatever. It's right on the base or whatever. I go to work 5 days, praise God every day that I'm in. COVID hits, I get to work remote. COVID's over, so they say. They're saying, hey, we want you to come back to work 3 days out of the week. I'm mad.
You're not by yourself, so not about that.
Yeah, man. Now, we got to be very careful. Because I'll tell you straight up that God blessed me with this job. Why is it that when God blesses us with something, and then we sit in there for a while or whatever, and all of a sudden we start complaining about the blessing? Maybe it's because there's an expiration date on the blessing. Okay. So now, I've only got 13 months, and then I know, just shake your head. I only got 13 months before I can retire. So I'm like, I'll fix you guys. Since you guys don't listen to me anymore anyway, you know, I'm gonna put a sign outside my door. Got my own office, too. I'm going to put a sign outside my door, and it's going to say, it's got, you know, 13 months. And then when month number 12 comes, I'm going to change the number to 12.
Oh,
and then when I get out, I'm going to put it out at 11 or whatever. Stop shaking your head, Anthony. You too young, and you ain't been in this class long enough to be shaking your head at the teacher. Now, come on. All right. And then I'm going to wait till I get to the last month. I'm going to draw a picture of a gun, right? And it's going to have a trigger on it. And then in the absolute last month, the trigger's gonna pull, it's gonna be a little flag, and then the flag at the gun is gonna say, go.
Evil thoughts coming from your heart. That's what it just said.
It might take you out
of that. Evil thoughts coming from your heart.
In fact, I had to even be careful in my prayer time because I told them, because they don't listen to me anymore, I told them, if you do this, and this is gonna happen. Guess what's happened? This, and this. Guess what I want to do? I told you so. In fact, there was a small window of time where I started praying, Lord, let them get it. And I had to go through the steps. So instead of praying for their failure, I started praying for them to be successful because I'm still in an organization and I want to be successful. Just because it's not doing what I want to do, I don't want to be praying for it to fail. But I do want to pray that the leaders will open their eyes. So these thoughts are coming from the... They didn't really do anything wrong. They want me to come in 3 days out of the week. Heck, I was praising God when I was coming in for five. What is going on? I know. It's in the dome. We are brain dead Christians. You know.
That's the second step in the mind.
So now I'm praying, you know, and I'm in a good place. Now somebody, a recruiter, only got 13 months to go. And out of all of this, I'm praising God because I'm thinking about working and working and working. And I'm like, you know what? I'm ready to leave. I'm ready to leave and do ministry full time. We're good financially. I'm ready to leave. A recruiter called me up and said, hey, like your resume. I said, good. I'm like, are you in the market? No, I only got 13 months. We're going to pay you $64,000 more than what you're making right now.
Good Lord.
And I'm like, whoa. That might get me.
Hello, darling.
Pardon me?
Money is not everything.
No,
right.
It is not.
It's not worth it.
True. But it's 100% remote.
It's a whole lot.
Do you want to be full-time?
Oh, if it's remote, I'll work some gym time in there.
Solitude and everything.
So let's go back to Noah, because this is what I do. Noah's in the ark. And we know that the ark is temporary.
Right.
It's just the thing that's going to get you into the next season. So I know that all these jobs are just arcs. But Noah sends out the raven, which is natural knowledge or whatever, your logistics, your logic. Because God bless you with a mind to do the math. But he also sent out the dove. If you just lean to your own understanding and just work on the numbers, the dollars and cents and stuff like that, and you step out there without the Holy Spirit, you might get into something that's over your head.
Right.
And it'd be a mess. So I'm doing the numbers. But then I'm also going into the Spirit. Now, why am I telling you this? Because, thank you, Deb, there still might be something in me. Animosity that might lead me to go, I'll fix you guys. Here it is. I got to make sure that it's not something inside of me that's going to cause me to make a decision that would defy. I don't know whether I'm going to take that one or not. I got to vet it a little bit more in the natural. I got to put the raven out there a little bit more. But whatever decision I make, it's got to be for the glory of God. Does working 100% remote allow me? Because now I'm going to be a pastor of a church pretty soon. Is that going to get in the way because I might have to work a little harder? Or is it going to give me more time because I can work 100% remote and I can be at the church? I don't know. But I don't make a move unless the dove comes back with an olive branch and I've got peace. And I can't make sure I got peace until I make sure that I do, I think it's Psalm 139, I want you to search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts. And see if there be any wicked way in me. And lead me in the way everlasting.
Amen.
That's why this parable is so powerful to me, because we are successful as Christians and believers in this place on the Zoom call. But you got to always kind of understand in the natural what is happening in the spiritual. What is the battlefield of the mind? And I never again want to make a decision based upon my own understanding or based upon my emotions or my frustrations. Because it might get in the way of his best. Now I'm going to pause for a minute. Your situation, your evil thoughts might not be associated with the job or whatever. The bottom line is, whatever the job is doing and not doing for me, that should not be the reason for how I respond outside of the Spirit. So I don't know what your example might be. You ain't got to share, but you know, hey, I've been walking, like some of you, we've been walking the earth for a while. And we know that there's some things that happen on the outside that cause us to respond a certain way. And I think the enemy looks for those things on the outside to provoke something on the inside. Even though we're brand new, we might have picked up some dust along the way. Powerful parable, isn't it? Let's go with another example. Feel free to give your own examples if you'd like.
Jeez.
All right. Murderers. I don't think there's any murderers here. But as I said in my notes, murder and killing of people literally verbally, physically, also includes hate. You can kill somebody without killing them in their body. You can kill them in their mind.
Spirit.
Absolutely. In fact,
we can all probably think back to something that somebody did or said to us that caused pain, that influenced.
Yes.
And had a hold of us and caused us to live in a certain way because of that.
Yep. I'm talking to the guy who gives me my dairy meat. Love this guy. Just, you know, wife don't even buy meat anymore. We just eat dairy. I know I see a couple of faces for it, but if you had this deer the way that we process this deer or whatever, it don't taste like deer. Some of you hunters in front of you know what I'm talking about. If you tasted the deer that I taste, if you saw a deer on the side of the road, you'd pull off to the side and you'd get some cuttings and you'd bring it back to me and say, Chuck, fix up this deer like a man. Choke a deer out. I see you over there looking all funny in the face by that dog. If I saw Bambi stuck in the fence, I'd go over and I'd choke Bambi out. Anyway. So if you got a nice big backyard and you got some corn out there and you're feeding deer, I see a head nod over there, you do not want to invite me over. I will run after it.
We eat them too.
All right, okay, there you go. All right, there you go. Anyway, I went over to get my deer yesterday, and he's telling me he's on the telephone with a friend of his. His 14-year-old son just jumped off a cliff on purpose. I didn't even know what to tell him. But I just pray. Our actions have impact or whatever. I don't know what was said, what was done. If he said he heard some voices, stuff like that or whatever. None of it. But we got to be careful because people, you know, it's amazing. Young people do smoke themselves for some reason. So things can happen and we don't have to pull the trigger and we don't have to push them off the cliff and things like that. But we got to be very careful that we don't kill folks. You know, somebody came to me the other day and said, oh, I got this, the Lord gave me this vision or whatever. I'm like, man, in my mind, I'm going, boy, that sounds crazy to me. I'm like, you know what, though? If the Lord gave it to you, I ain't going to come against it. I said, just be careful. You just better make sure it's the Lord. Mm-hmm. But I ain't going to kill your dream because I got a big guy. But, so, be careful. You can murder people. I got a daughter, had a gap in her tooth before she got braces and fixed the gap. I didn't realize at the time, but you know, you guys know I talk about. I like to make fun of them, whatever. And Al, if I've said anything that has killed off your hopes and dreams or whatever,
no.
Okay, well, praise the Lord. Well, I used to make fun of her with the gap or whatever. You know, I said, you talk about me, I'm gonna talk about you or whatever. You floss. You probably floss with a shoestring with a knot in it. You know, that was clapping. All right. Hey, Anthony back there is laughing. Getting ready to write it down. He's going to use it on somebody. You know, I didn't realize that she has low self-esteem.
Yeah.
And I didn't realize when I was laughing and joking and having a good time as a dad, I was killing her.
Yeah.
And it's coming from the inside.
Murder the spirit.
I know. Yeah. I'm killing the spirit.
Yeah.
And why was I doing it? Pride. Mm-hmm. All right. Feel free to come up with your own examples. All right. adulteries, fornications. Oh, yeah, I guess we'll move on that one. Yes, sir. You know, I put it in my book. One of the worst things I ever did to somebody. A friend of mine called me up and said, "Man, I just met this wonderful girl. She's so classy. She's professional, and she's just a beautiful girl. She's a 9 or a 10. And she's somebody that you would never be able to date."
Oh, there was the challenge.
Oh, you guys jumped on that pretty quick.
We know you.
No, I know many don't tell me.
Oh, okay, so I'm going to have to... Wait, wait, defend myself. Oh, wait a minute. I can't defend myself. I will say this. I will say this.
No, that was all about what I would have done.
Okay.
Before
Jesus. Thank you. What I'm getting ready to say is, when I wrote the second book, somebody came to my daughter and said, I'm glad that your dad is not the guy in the beginning of the book, but he's the guy at the end. Okay. I'm like, oh, all right. Okay. Thank you. Praise God. All right, Paul, go ahead. So, you know, take that.
When you refer to adultery and fornication in there, it's not just necessarily the actual act,
right,
but it's lusting.
Yeah. Oh! So Paul says, even though you don't do the act, you could be faking it.
Yeah, I think Jesus talks about
that. He does talk about that. So we're gonna, so hold on to that, because Paul just hit something that that we need to talk about here. All right. So anyway, let me speed this little story up real quick. So of course, well, what do you think was arose in me? The preacher, the teacher,
the challenge.
It's a challenge. Challenge. So what's rising up?
Pride.
Pride. So I said to him, well, I don't want to be a temptation for our sister in Christ or whatever, but, you know, praise the Lord.
No, you didn't.
No, I didn't.
That's the new
me.
The other thing when he just lying. We'll get to that later.
I know. So I told him, oh no, I can pull anything. So I said, just give me the number. And I gave the number, and Anthony don't know anything about this. Al might, because, you know, back in the day, you know, you couldn't
hear. I was playing.
Back in the day. That's it.
I sang
tender love to her over the phone by the 4SMGs or whatever. Tender love, you know, and she just melted like sand through my hand. She never even laid eyes on me. So we made up a I don't want to tell any details, but we made up. I never had sex with her. Never did. So I met her in Atlanta. She liked me. I had my blue Paul. I had the combination 2A uniform, the dark blue shirt with, oh, that thing was sharp. Oh yeah, but with black blue shirt here, you know, military man in the uniform, whatever. Man, she just melted. I called my friend back up. I said, one, you need to get your rating scale calibrated. That ain't a 10. That was a 7. Ooh. All right. Two. Would you stop it? And you better come back next week too.
Yeah. Girl, she was like, oh, go ahead. She's gonna shake you down.
That's why you guys didn't come up with your own. Head moving like, you know, I see the little afro puff moving in the wind. Anyway.
Yeah, it's the redemption.
Thank you very much. And then I said, and by the way, I got it. Didn't lay with it, but I got it. Pride. Mm-hmm. There's a process involved in this. And the reason why it's one of the saddest moments, because she was so into me that I tried to make it work, and it just wasn't in my heart to make it work, and I wound up breaking her heart because she thought I was her knight in shining armor. Mm-hmm. And from time to time, I still feel bad about that. Mm-hmm. Because I never thought that my actions were going to have a... Yeah. And I will tell you, I was a stone-cold Christian.
No,
yes,
won't.
Ma'am. What?
Scripture says, but I say to you that whoever looks at a woman to lust for her has already committed adultery.
I don't need you telling me that.
With her in his heart.
Whoa. So now I'm going to go. All right. We're going to move on.
Christians make mistakes.
Yes, they do.
Yes, they do. But you got to understand, you can prevent some of those mistakes if you. Oh, wait a minute. So we know the steps. We know the steps. Humble yourself. Change your mind. Repent. Stop trying to do this on your own. Put down all that pride. Put your hope in the Lord. Be led by the Spirit. Am I going to do those things that make God proud? Bring Him glory. And now you know how to deal with others. We know the steps. Question. We know the process for being in right standing with God. Is there a process that we follow that takes us away from God?
Process of sin.
Oh, so just like there's a process for righteousness, there's a process that involves sinning.
Yes.
You know, go back to what Paul and Deb are saying.
Sure.
What is James 1:14? Because I'm going to go to John, 1 John chapter 2, but you go to James.
Each one is tempted when by his own evil desire.
Hold on. What did you say that was, James?
James 1:14.
Got it. Read it again.
But each one is tempted when by his own evil desire he is dragged away and enticed. And 15 says, then after desire has conceived, it gives birth to sin. And sin, when it is full grown, gives birth to death.
Okay.
Yeah, that's the process. Okay.
That is.
That's the process.
That's a better scripture than what I have.
Okay.
So it goes back to what Paul is saying. It is a process. There's a process to sin. This is not like, I know I'm getting older and I got an AARP card. There's some things in the natural that just happen that I can't control anymore. You know. But sin, it starts here in the mind because it's inside of us. And there's a process that happens.
It's like meditation.
Yes. Now, if somebody in my... So, don't look at me all funny about this girl, all right? Because nobody in Bible study broke it down to me like this so that I would know that what I was doing. Because I never laid with this girl. So, I'm thinking, hey,
you okay?
I'm okay.
Yes.
But I never realized that all of this started from an evil desire built upon pride. And when we don't have, when we don't teach that word to that depth of application, how many other Christians are walking around thinking they're okay, but they got this evil inside of them that causes them to make decisions that have them calling the cops on neighbors without a clear understanding. Anyway, let me keep going. It's not just my example. Oh my God, somebody called the Popo before. Anyway, let me keep going.
She wants to.
Hey, I got a neighbor to call me today and said the same thing. Said, hey, you know, this neighbor's dog is driving me crazy. I work all day as a week or whatever. Now the dog is barking because your wife is out there watering the grass. And I have to go over there. I'm going to call the cops or whatever. If that gives you glory, then you knock yourself out. I just, you know.
She called me and I tell her, no, ma'am. She said,
well, at least she checks.
I called her.
You did call?
Okay, what's that? Parking in front of my house.
Well, sometimes you got to do what you got to do.
And they had like 5-6 cars because the kids had cars. And so when my kids would come, there's no place to park.
What, were your kids coming?
Yeah,
because
they were there, so I
called.
Yeah, in our neighborhood, if
you
park like that, the mailman goes right around. You don't get.
Yeah, that's what happened.
No, I'm gonna call somebody if I can't get my mail.
But anyway, the cop came, and because they just moved in, and so he talked to them and told them not to park in front.
Did you talk to them first?
They had about 6 kids, and they had grown kids.
The data type
that
cuts you out,
so
she
didn't. Oh, okay. Well, you know.
Then I thought,
how did the cop do it?
Yeah, she was.
Yeah. And the cop told them. So then the cop pulled off, and then they pulled the cars right back in front. So then I called the cop right back.
And he came back and he told them if they ever parked in front, they were going to get a ticket. And so that's over 30 years ago. They don't park in front.
Be, I'm just going to say, well, work. Just be.
Nowadays,
be
you probably wouldn't do that. That was 30 years ago. Now, folks, it's a little change.
I mean, people sometimes, when there's a front on something like that, yeah. But just the part.
Well, I want to say this. Move in the spirit and give it to God. And if God gives you the green light to do what you need to do, that's what the police are for.
Yep.
But move in the spirit. All right, here we go. Well, I asked for examples and I got one. There you go. All right. I'm looking at 1 John chapter 2, verse 15. You don't have to turn there, but I'll read for you. Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. In my example, was I loving the world? That's a pride.
Yeah.
Even though I wasn't doing anything physically, it was the pride, which means I was loving the pride of the world more than I was loving the Father when I made the phone call. And he goes further. For all that is in the world, mark this down now, lust of the flesh, lust of the eyes, and the pride of life is not of the Father, but is of the world. I made that phone call because I was full of pride. Was there a process involved? Yes, there was. Number one, desire. There was desire. I was enticed. There was desire. Hey, this is something that you can't have. Oh, you just said I can't have it? Now I won't get it.
It's like,
oh, hold that thought.
You
were craving. Hold that thought. I'm like, oh, okay, now I got a desire. Lust of the flesh. I see a way I can do this. I see the opportunity. Boom. There you go. After I seized upon the opportunity, what got risen up again? That pride. I went through the process. It didn't just come naturally like that. It came through a process that started right here. From the inside.
So that's good just to have, like, for single people dating, that I'm...
Oh.
This for, yeah.
Oh, one of the hardest things I had was being a Christian and being single.
It is.
Oh. It's
very hard.
You know, Chuck, one of the things that I think all of us face right now with social media, some of the stuff that comes through on social media, first thing, there's the tempting. And then Satan comes in and says, just look at it for a second.
That's right.
Yes.
Just look at it for a second.
It's a process.
And if you do, if you get hooked by that, that second turns into
something
longer.
Yes. Absolutely. You're absolutely correct. But nobody broke it down to me like this, so I did not realize. I grew up saying, don't fornicate and commit adultery. Gotcha. But sometimes when you go through this process, anybody try real hard not to do wrong? and you were kind of successful the first few times? But did you wind up just doing wrong anyway?
Yep.
That's what I think Susan or whoever said about Paul says, I do what I want to do, I don't do what I want to do, or something like that.
What I should do.
And so you can try as hard as you want to. Even your success will lead to the downfall. You cannot combat this in your own strength. All you're doing is kicking the can down the road. But the enemy's just going to keep coming and keep coming and keep coming. And nobody told me how to do this the right way. They just said, don't commit adultery and don't fornicate. Okay, I'm going to try real hard not to commit adultery and not to fornicate. I'm going to try real hard. Oops. I'm going to start all over again. I'm going to do a redo. I'm going to try real hard. No, it does not work that way.
That is absolutely the truth right there.
Mm-hmm. It doesn't work that way. Mm-hmm. We know, I know how to do it now. Mm-hmm. I follow those steps. Mm-hmm. So the relationship with the girl wasn't working out. She wanted to get married and have kids. Time, clock was ticking or whatever. And I'm like, Man, I'm scared. Because I'm just not feeling it. I'm trying to be the knight in shining armor, and all I see is I'm going to get into something, and it just ain't going to work. I'm going to be miserable, and she's going to be miserable. And I know I came in saying I'm going to be your knight in shining armor, but you know,
you're just playing.
Yeah. Well, now I ain't playing anymore. And she's getting on my nerves. So, so she said to me, "This ain't working out." I'm like, "Let's be friends." And she goes, "Nah. Tell you what, since we've never known each other, let's just call it quits and you come on to Atlanta and you can have me and then we'll be done with it." Now, you're talking to a former fornicator. That's like being in the lion's den with pork chop underwear on. You ain't coming out alive.
Pork chop underwear.
Don't give this
okay, TMI.
Thank you.
But I had just learned the steps.
Yeah.
For the first time, I had just learned the steps.
Are you a friend of Lady Gaga?
I don't know where you're going with that, but I...
She had a meat dress.
Oh, a meat dress? Oh, that's where you're going with that? Well, that tells you no, because I don't know.
Meat
dress. Yeah, I remember that. Yeah. Yeah, that'll make me go vegetarian. Anyway. I didn't know it.
Yeah.
I went through the steps. I said, "Lord, I need you." Two, I repented. Because I'm like, well, I can go down there and just not do anything. Really?
Yeah.
Three, my hope is in you. You're my father. I'm like, oh my God, I'm going to drive 2 hours to Atlanta. Know what's in my heart. And then drive 2 hours back and be repentant the whole way. Mm-hmm. I cannot fail my father like that. I know who I am. I know who I belong to. I cannot let the father down like that. Spirit. Mm-hmm. What makes God proud? What brings him glory?
Mm-hmm. Repentance.
I told her no.
Now, obedience.
I cannot let God down like that. Never spoke to her again. I still go back and think how I treated her like that, and I repent. I feel really bad. One of the inmates today said, "What do you do when you feel that, when you know you've done something wrong and you've repented before God, but you still have a hard time asking yourself for forgiveness?" And I'm like, wow, that's a good question.
Yeah.
And one of the inmates said, "Well, you're putting yourself ahead of God."
Yeah.
And he's like, "Whoa!" I said, "Hey, have you gone through the steps? Have you picked up your cross and humbled yourself, recognized you're in need? Have you repented? Feel bad for what you did? Did God forgive you of your sins and wash it through His blood and wash you clean of that sin, so that it doesn't stick to you? You're washed clean, and He removes it as far as the east is from the west, and you believe that?" Yeah, I believe that. And now you've got the Holy Spirit inside of you, and you're operating from the Spirit, and you're understanding that, hey, I want to have mercy, and I want to be kind to people because I've not done this before. And you've gone through that, and God has taken you through that process? Absolutely. And now what you're saying is, even though God has forgiven me, I'm greater than God. I'm not going to forgive myself. Do you understand you just put yourself back in bondage?
Yes. Yeah.
Favorite tool is our memory.
And the Spirit brought back to my remembrance Revelation that says the enemy is the accuser of the brethren. And what is he accusing you of? All that old stuff that you did when you let God down and you messed up His people.
Mm-hmm. And our pastor said this one time. He said it's like what Jesus has done for you on the cross is not enough.
It is enough.
Right, he said, but to keep saying that you can't forgive yourself, even though you know what Jesus has done for you.
You keep yourself in bondage. And so that brother was set free today.
You know, if Adam and Eve had followed the steps, we wouldn't be in the mess we're in
today. Sorry. Yeah, okay. So. Genesis chapter 3.
Genesis chapter 3.
Yeah, Genesis chapter 3.
Yeah. I don't
want to
be where she is.
See, Paul. Yeah. All right, here we go. Now the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field, and the Lord God that which the Lord God had made. And he said unto the woman,
Genesis chapter 3.
Yep. Yea, hath God said ye shall not eat of every tree of the garden? Now he asked it again. The enemy will ask questions to cause doubt on who you are in him. God asks questions so that you get back in your right mind.
No.
Yep. All right. And the woman, verse 2, said unto the serpent, we may eat of the fruit of the trees of the garden, but of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God has said, ye shall not eat of it, neither shall ye touch it, lest ye die. All right, that's false. That's misinformation right there. All right, but now the enemy already knows. Here you go. All right. And the serpent said unto the woman, verse 4, ye shall not surely die. For God, that's just a straight up lie. For God doth know that in the day that ye eat thereof, your eyes shall be opened, and ye shall be as gods, knowing good and evil. Verse 6, key.
Hey.
And when the woman saw that the tree was good for food,
temptation,
lust of the flesh, process has started now, and that it was pleasant to the eyes. Oh, she, the hook is in the mouth. She's taking the bait. And the tree to be desired to make one wise, knowledge does what? Puffs you up. Mm-hmm. Now the hook is set. She just went through the same process that's outlined in 1 John. It is a process. And I guess she did not know yet about the steps. Because the lamb had not yet been slain.
They were written because of her.
If she had only remembered who she was and who she... So the devil has been playing this process game for years, ever since the beginning. And why should he change? It works. And we have to understand that while there's a process for sin, and when you see yourself in that process, he will make a way of escape. And the way of escape is going back to the steps of righteousness. Nobody ever told me that. And then she gives the fruit to Adam, and her acts cause him to fall from grace. And that's one of the other things I learned in all of this. I was only concerned about myself. I was rarely concerned about how my temptations or actions were causing others to fall out of alignment with God.
Tell us what she should have done, Susan.
She should have turned around and said, hand me that shovel.
or she should have said,
sorry,
it's something for snakes. Gotcha.
Yeah.
The only red flag is if you got a snake talking to you.
Yeah, you got something.
Should have hollered for help.
Yeah.
Yes, Adam.
Yeah, God. Adam, come to the door.
Creator, help me. Hey. Help me. There's a snake.
That's all.
But he looked good. Oh, now let me give you this.
Nowadays.
We're running out of time, so let me give you this. The good news is, when Christ goes into the wilderness and he's tempted of the same God as here in Genesis, he approaches Christ the same way in those same elements. Flesh, why don't you make some biscuits?
Let me
take you to the temple and you can do this. Pride of life. I'll give you all this. And he rebuked him each time with the word of God. Same process. Thank you, Paul. There is a process for sinning. That's why I want to spend a little more time, you know, part four on this. Let's get through the rest of this. So next week, I should be back in town. And so I'll be here in person. God. Oh, wait a minute. We got four things in the chat here. What's going on? Oh, okay, yeah. Thank you, Sandra. Don's laughing at it. Oh, guys, say hi to Don Dorsey. He's a friend of mine from D.C. He's joined us today.
Hey, Don.
Hey.
All right, there you go. All right.
Welcome.
All right. Thefts. I know we don't think about theft. I used to be a bank teller. One day I was in the bank, and you know what I started daydreaming about?
Stealing the money.
Yeah. I said, man, I can rob this bank, no problem. Where does this stuff come from? I mean, you know, it's just, Hi.
From your mind.
I'm so happy.
Right.
I'm
good. Saw the opportunity. It's impressive.
Would have never thought about stealing a pencil had my friend not said, "I dare you to steal that pencil."
There you go. Pride. Challenge. I've made so many dumb mistakes like that. And gotten beat up for it. All right. False witness and blasphemies. This goes back to Paul again. Okay, so let me do this quick. It's not the false news or the misinformation. There is so much false news and misinformation. It is, this world is just absolutely nuts.
Amen to that.
Ain't no doubt.
And it's not the misinformation, even as defiled as it is, that's necessarily the thing that defiles us. It's just that the misinformation is touching something on the inside of us, either a bias or an opinion or a thought. And it touches something on the inside of us, and then that provokes something in us and allows it to come
out.
And we got to be careful when we share that, because then all of a sudden it gets picked up by somebody else.
But I read it on the internet.
There was a time when I saw it on the internet and I'm like, oh, it's got to be true. But do you know what I found out? And this is from a military perspective. Military propaganda. So Russia really is fighting a war with us, and it's through propaganda.
Yeah.
Because some of the websites that bring up the misinformation are coming out of Russia. We just can't tell it. We can't see it. And what the Russians are doing by doing that, Chinese too, I think, they're saying, we know what's something in their heart. We know they're afraid of something. So let's put out some false information that stokes what's inside of them, and then they'll just run nuts.
It's working, too.
And it's working. Because we take that misinformation as truth. And what it's really doing is striking a fear inside of us. I don't want to get political. It's time to go. But, you know, really. So you got gun violence. And you really don't want to do something to curb the opportunity or make it harder for people who are a little kooky to get an assault rifle and kill somebody. You really don't want to do something to combat that? Why? Because it's political posturing. So now you got somebody who says, oh, let's just go and change all the gun laws or whatever. I'm a gun owner. Let's go and change all the gun laws or whatever, you know. But they're doing it, I think for the most part they're doing it because, but I think it's a knee-jerk reaction. Oh, this is an opportunity for us to stay in power. So now let's take this as a platform that we're going to use. Then you got another side that says
the motives of their hearts are wrong.
Yeah.
It's the motive. If the motive behind it was really the children, then you will come with a bipartisan plan that will protect the children.
That's true.
And then you got the other side that's coming back saying, oh my God, you know, the rights or whatever. And because now and it's all about the power, it's all about the money, it's all about, you know, it's all about how can we stoke something on the inside? It's like raw meat. What kind of raw meat can we throw out there that will get people fearful? So I praise God for whatever bipartisan people are getting together to talk about this. Because there's a mental health thing that's involved in this. It's not all just about, you know, the accessibility of guns. You got crazy people out there.
There's a lot of factors.
So you need to kind of go through, before you have a knee-jerk reaction, you need to kind of go through and say, you know, why? Why is this happening? Let's come up with something that, rather than all of this propaganda and misinformation that's causing fear, and all of a sudden, and all it does is, it separates the nation.
Did you hear what she said?
No, what she said?
Because they don't know Jesus.
They don't know Jesus.
Ooh!
Well, you know, if you look back about the trend, when was God taken out of the public square to schools? 1964,
all right?
Yeah. If you look at the value system in our country from 1964 through today, you can see it's really an insidious decline. We don't realize it's happening. We let people into our homes now through the media that we would have never let in if they came to the front door.
Absolutely.
It's not necessarily a Republican or Democrat.
It's not.
Satan's plan.
Amen.
It's a process that generates fear, that causes us to spin out of control. And just like Eve in the garden, we share that with Adams, and all of a sudden, you got a whole flock of crazy folk.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But as a Christian, we still are called to the two greatest commandments that the enemy wants to get us off of. Love God and love others.
Which is what Carolyn's been saying for months. Yes.
Oh, I'm just going to say we have a whole unit of Capitol Police, right? Make that big deal about somebody getting in the Capitol up there in Washington.
Okay.
Well, why don't we have that for the schools?
Again,
guys are always going to have guns.
And then the thing too is,
what if the person who had the gun that stopped it all, if he didn't have his gun, the teacher whoever it was?
So I want to close out with this because I went a little longer here, but I got here. I got some notes here. This is important to understand. Trying to address and clean up the outside doesn't deal with where the source of the problem is. I think that's the issue that we got. Everybody's trying to solve this problem from outside, but you got to come back into the root and figure out what's going on the inside. And you cannot effectively be successful trying to fix them from the outside. Again, the motive. What is your motive? If your motive is political, then okay, that's... Are you really concerned about people?
There's such a political spirit in this nation that is destroying us.
Always has been, but not
like
this.
It's more evident. It's more out in
the open. Because the process is taken.
What's the root of the political spirit, though?
Oh, it's fear. Fear of loss. It goes back to the Pharisees. You said some Christians are involved. Well, it's the Pharisees. The Pharisees were Christians. Well, I don't want to say that.
The Bible says judgment begins in the house of God. And we've got to let God...
We can't be drawn away as believers from this.
In our hearts, just like what we're learning through this parable, what are we letting cause us to be defiled?
Yes.
Yeah. And we've got to like humble and realize the importance of the times we do live in and the necessity to let God be preeminent in our lives, be first in our lives.
When I see things going on in my neighborhood, fear hits immediately. You mess with my property values. And my property values are more important than the love of Jesus. Things just happen that hit things or whatever. If you try to fix things from the outside, then we don't understand how this works. Then we are blind too.
Yes.
All right. So we must get to the root of the matter to be clean. Jesus is teaching them to work from the inside out. You can draw closer physically and still be far away from the favor and presence of God. Matthew Henry's got a couple of these things. I like this one. He said, if he wash, he is not better before God. If he wash not, he is not the worse. Don't focus on the wrong things. All right? Okay. That's it. Don, good to have... Somebody else put another chat here. What the heck is this chat? Don says hello, everybody. All right, there you go. All right. Time for us to get out of here. Thank you in advance for your prayers for Traveling Mercies. Appreciate that. I'm going to go and visit my... Amen. Don't think ill of me. Like the guy that, I'm not the same guy that I used to be. Praise the Lord. I'm brand new.